How's everybody doing this morning? Has God been good to anybody in the house? Oh, hallelujah. My God. I can look around this house and I see a lot of ex-drug addicts and ex-alcoholics, ex-abusers. And I'm not just talking about drugs. They abused mamas and daddies. Some of y'all used to abuse cousins and nephews. Some of y'all was violent, sit in jail cells and prison cells. Then Jesus came along. The thing that I like about Jesus the most is that he loves people. Why don't we just love him? Can we just do that? Just Jesus, we praise you. We love you. We adore you. We lift you up. There is no God like you. There is no Savior like you, God. We praise you. We adore you. We lift you up. We exalt you. Hallelujah. We praise your mighty name, God. We lift you up in this house. Come on, somebody give him the praise. There's no God like our God. No Savior like our Savior. Rabonisha dabosaya, daborianda yadaboshendaya. Jesus' name. Amen. I am extremely happy to be here. Amen. I met your pastor in Sacramento, California. Amen. And a mutual friend of ours introduced us. Amen. And got invited to come. And that means a lot to me. It takes a whole lot of work to build a church. It takes a whole lot of work to build a person. And so I don't take lightly being up here. Amen. And I'm not trying to exalt myself, but I prayed. The Lord has spoken to me. And I know that God loves you. And I love you too, even though we may not know each other. But I love you. Amen. And I know that God loves you by the pastor and the leadership that he's given you. Amen. In fellowshipping with Brother Collins and Brother Josh, Brother Reggie, Brother Jermaine yesterday. Amen. Got to meet their wives. Just wonderful to have beautiful leadership, to sit at the table with princes, to be in a safe place. This is a safe place. Amen. This is a safe place. The club's not a safe place. Some of our homes are not safe places. But this church is a safe place. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's good to have my travel buddy with me, Brother Alex Schatz. Amen. Faithful man of God. And most of all, it's just good to have Jesus in the house. Amen. It's good to have Jesus here. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. How many love your Bible? Do you love your Bible? If you love your Bible, say amen. I remember my grandma. She knows I love her, but she smoked weed her whole life and drank E&J. But she kept a Bible in the bathroom, praise God. I remember I just didn't even know what I was reading, just reading the Bible in the bathroom. One of them big old heavy family Bibles. I remember I read a little bit of the book of Revelation and started preaching to some of my friends. Amen. And they still think I'm crazy today. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, Verse 16, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? What agreement, what contract does the temple of God have with idols? For you are the temple. Everybody say, that's me. That's right. You are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Amen. Just for a little moment, I want to preach on the topic, golden boxes. Look at your neighbor and say, golden boxes. Amen. Why don't we lift up our hands one more time? Lord Jesus, we love you. We praise you today. We love you. We worship you. You have been so good to us, God. Be good to your people one more time. Pour out your spirit. Hallelujah. Confirm the word of your people and your word, oh God, and your power and demonstration of your spirit. In the name of Jesus, somebody give them praise on a Sunday morning. In the name of Jesus, we love you. We worship you. And boy, quick, man. Boy, you may be seated. Amen. House of God is the most important place that you will ever be in your entire life while on this earth. If man has the wisdom to build a university and to allow members of the community, members from across the world, to open its doors to hire teachers and instructors and professors to come and to teach you things about life, no matter how genius you are, no matter what your IQ is, no matter how powerful your mind is, or your wisdom, the attendance that you hold can make you a failure. Even on a high school level, a middle school level, it doesn't matter how smart you are. It doesn't matter how, some say, slick you are. If you don't show up, you will fail. Somebody say amen. You may have a job and make $100,000 a year. Amen. The boss likes you. The owner likes you. Your coworkers like you, which that rarely happens. Amen. But if you don't show up, you can get fired. God's house is really no different. It being the most important place on the earth, the most important institution on the earth, men can fall off simply by not showing up. The Bible says, they that seek the Lord understand all things. They that seek the Lord understand all things. You really are a know-it-all when you show up to the house of God. So I'm looking at geniuses this morning. I'm looking at the most wisest this morning. And you thought you just got up, wiped the sleep out of your eyes and yawned and brushed your teeth, took a shower, put on some nice clothes and thought, you know, I'm just doing what I'm supposed to do. But you showing up to the house of God lets God know, hey, I still got some smart ones left on the earth. We brag on our children. Look how smart he is. I was at a church, and there was a young man there. He was 4 years old. He started reading when he was 3 years old. We put out the Bible. We said, read this. And he started reading the Bible, 4 years old. And, you know, his mom just shined. You know, she was proud of her little baby boy. And God does the same thing when you show up to church, because it takes smart people to show up to church on a Sunday morning. Somebody say amen. I'm telling you, it takes smart people to show up to church on a Sunday morning. You know, that little boy was just doing what he was taught. Amen. Making his mama proud. The Bible talks about a little boy named Samuel. Samuel was a little boy that was born in the church, if you will. He His mom was barren. She could not have babies. And she prayed, she fasted, she prayed, and she fasted. And then Samuel was born. She made a vow. She said, God, if you would give me a little boy, I'll dedicate him to you. I'll make sure that he gives his whole life to be in the house of God and to be in the work of God. Amen. Samuel didn't have a choice in the matter. He didn't have any option. His mom already made his life goals out for him. You're going to work in the house of God. You're going to work and be a part of God's institution. You're going to live at the church. You're going to help with the offering. You're going to help with whatever the preacher needs you to do. That is going to be your life choice. Why, Mom? Why do I have to do that? Because God was the one that gave you to me. Amen. Amen. Samuel, the Bible says, was a humble young boy. He got the favor of God quick on his life. God began to speak to Samuel around the age of 12 years old. He was just a young boy. He did not have a normal life. The other boys were running the town and playing games and flirting with other young ladies. And Samuel, you've got to help clean up after the animals. You have to help clean up after sacrifices. Even going a little bit deeper to give you the realistic view of the situation. The animal sacrifices were animals that would be cut. So there was blood and there was entrails and there were guts that he had to clean up. And that was the duty of living in the house of God. It's not always pretty in the house of God. Sometimes you've got to get your hands dirty. Sometimes you're going to get your fingernails dirty. Amen. Sometimes you're going to have to touch things and get into situations in life. And God says, are you going to serve me or are you going to serve man? Oh, hallelujah. Are you going to sit in church with a bad attitude or are you going to praise me, he says. Amen. Are you going to be upset that she offended you or are you going to continue to give me the praise? Amen. Jesus said, blessed is the man, amen, that is not offended in the way that I do things. John was sitting in prison and he was about to be beheaded. And he had given his whole life, grew up in church, given his whole life to God, preached the message, preached out in the wilderness, ate locusts and honey, didn't have a good diet. And at the end, he got beheaded. And he sent his disciples to Jesus. And they asked him, are you the one or do we look for another? Just give us a sign. Are you the Messiah or are we looking for somebody else? In other words, what he was saying was, God, quit playing games with me. And Jesus looked at him and said, you go tell John that the blind receive their sight and that the deaf do hear and that the crippled are straightened and that the lame do walk. And blessed is the man who is not offended in me. Amen. Blessed is the man that accepts the way that I do things. Such was the case of Samuel. Samuel, clean this up. Pick this up. Bible says that Eli had a couple of sons, and they were playboys. They were ladies' men. They were big men, robust. They were strong. The Bible says when man came to offer sacrifice, man, he was only supposed to take a portion after a certain time. Those men said, no, you give me what I want. He said, or I'll take it by force. And the Bible says men had a board. They hated going to church. They hated giving offerings to God because of those two men. And they slept with the women that came to the house of God. It wasn't long before an old man comes along to Eli, the pastor, the priest. Samuel wakes up one day and he looks out at the little lambs and he sees the lambs playing and they're comfortable. He sees his favorite ewe lamb. Amen. He calls his favorite ewe lamb Sheba. He thinks about that little ewe lamb, how that one day it's going to give its life to be given to the house of God. He looks at him. He's played with him. He loves the flock. He feeds him, and he stumbles into a room one day, and he sees an old man. He's a rough-looking man. He's covered in sheepskin. He looks rough. His face is weather-torn from desert suns, fierce winds. His eyes are red There's not a whole lot of compassion in his eyes. The man is sitting down, and he can hear the murmur and the deep voice as he's talking to Eli the priest. Samuel comes, and he looks through the veil, and he sees that bony finger of that old prophet. And the prophet begins to look upon Eli, and he stands up, and he says, "Thus saith the Lord." And he begins to rebuke him because of Eli. "You have not controlled your sons. Did I not call your father from the tribe of Levi? And you have not performed the duties of a priest." And he begins to tell him, "Now your sons will die in one day. Your sons will be gone, and you, my friend, will be judged." He sees the man, the prophet, without fear, without favor, glaring at the high priest. Eli looks, sees Samuel off in the distance, gazes back at the prophet, puts his head down, knowing that I should have took care of it when God told me to take care of it. Amen. The prophet gets up and he walks out as he looks at the priest one more time and goes out into oblivion. Samuel comes in and he sees Eli, his hands are shaking just a little bit. He sees the old man that has gained weight over time. His eyesight is not as good as it used to be. He's shucked the duties of a priest. Sometimes the candle would go out at night and Samuel would have to get up in the morning and light it because of the word of the Lord said so, that it must burn. He goes and he asks him, "How are you doing, Eli?" "I'm doing good, son." And he's talking. He thinks about the gold box that has been in the house of God. Nobody has ever really explained it to him. The gold box, the box that is there with the angels that sit on top of it. Some call it the ark. Some called it the ark of the covenant. What is it about the gold box? Eli, will you tell me the story again about that gold box? You always get different when you go into the presence of the old gold box. Eli says, "Yes, son, the gold box, the Ark of the Covenant was after God had taken us from Egypt after 400 years of slavery. We came across the Red Sea. We saw Pharaoh's army destroyed in the Red Sea. We saw them. They were on our trails. They were on our heels. And Moses stretched forth the rod over the Red Sea and the waters began to part. And we walked on dry ground, and we saw Pharaoh's army drown in the Red Sea. We got over into the wilderness, and men begin to murmur. Men begin to complain. And there were men that rose up like Korah, and they were priests, and they were preachers. And they rose up against Moses, but Moses was a man of prayer. And Moses prayed, and the ground swallowed Korah and his men up. There were men from the Amalekites that came upon us, and they got some of the crippled, and they got some of the maimed, and they got some of the babies, and they got some of the animals. And it was there that God told Moses that you are to wipe Amalek from the face of the earth. Don't you ever forget what Amalek did to you. Praise God. Amen. There is a righteous vengeance that you must have sometimes. Amen. Sometimes when people do you wrong, it's not the people that do you harm. Amen. It's the spirit behind the people that do you harm. Sometimes rather attacking people, you need to go to your place of prayer and attack the spirits that are behind the things working behind the scenes. Hallelujah. Amen. The devil would love to get you caught up on people and get you caught up on names. Amen. But if you can get into the spirit of God and pinpoint where the enemy is working, God can do a work. Amen. He says it was there in the wilderness that there was murmuring and there was complaining. Amen. It was there in the wilderness that the golden calf was created and men begin to worship and dance around the golden calf without clothes on and begin to fornicate and they begin to do whatever they wanted to do when Moses was on the mountain. And when Moses was on the mountain, God was giving him instructions to a nation. God was giving him directions and guidance for a whole nation. Amen. I know sometimes it seems like the pastor's not always there when you're talking to him eye to eye. It's because sometimes he's on the mountain getting instructions. Amen. It was there that God told him to build a little box. This box was called the Ark of the Covenant. It was so wide and it was so long. It looked like a little coffin or a big coffin. It was covered in gold, and it had handles, and it had bars, and there were things that were placed inside of the little golden box. On the top of it was a slab of gold. There was angels that sit on top of it. And there was something about that box when it was created. God told Moses, rather, I want you to put some things in this box. I want you to put the tablets of stone, the Ten Commandments, amen, that I've carved into tablets of stone. I want you to put those in the box. And I want you to put the pot of manna in the box. And I want you to put Aaron's rod that buds in the box. And I want you to seal it up, and it'll be in the holiest of holies. The golden box, Samuel, is God's presence. The golden box, Samuel, is the blessings of God. The golden box, Samuel, is the fear of God. The golden box represents the doctrine of God. The golden box represents you, Samuel. And you must always remember that no matter what happens to this place, no matter what happens to me, you must always remember to protect the golden box. If there is war that breaks upon, and he looks at him, Samuel, you heard the prophet. You know that there's an enemy on its way, and that enemy's coming for this territory. He said, and no matter what happens to me, I don't know how long I've got until I'll breathe my last breath, but no matter what happens, you remember that golden box. And you protect that golden box, and you protect what's in the box, because without the golden box, nothing else matters. Amen. Without the golden box, nothing else matters. Without the golden box, Samuel, you don't have power to resist the devil. Without the golden box, Samuel, you don't have power to live. That golden box, Samuel, little boy, it's heavy for him to carry. He goes back. He lives his life. The Bible says that he is a prophet, and he is so precise. He is so in tune with the Spirit of God that he speaks a word and it comes to pass. None of his words fell down to the ground. Amen. And now Samuel's older now. He's seen a lot. He was a circuit preacher. He traveled a lot. He had sons, and his sons were men that grew up and they just took bribes. They wanted gain. Samuel couldn't do that now. They're grown men. It's kind of like Eli. I can't do anything about them. I must do the work of God. And now he's going along. Saul comes, and Saul is king. And to fast forward the story, Saul fails. He has no respect for God. He has no fear of God. He has no reverence for God. And one day Samuel is there, and Samuel rebukes him as the old prophet rebuked Eli. Now Samuel is the prophet rebuking the king. And he says, God has ripped away the kingdom from out of your hands. And he turns, and Saul rips a piece, amen, of his garment. And he prophesies, this day it is taken out of your hands. Amen. Samuel is going along. God has wiped Saul from being king. God has no problem removing people. Amen. If he made you the bus driver, he can make you the bench warmer. Praise God. Be thankful for what you do for God. Don't complain. Amen. And so Saul is wiped from being king, and he's praying. Samuel is, and goes along, and God tells him, how long will you weep? How long are you going to pray? I've already did my work. He says, get up, fill up your horn, go down to Jesse's house in Bethlehem, and I want you to find a young boy. And he goes, and you know the story. He finds King David. He anoints him. You are to be the king over Israel. David's just a young boy, like Samuel was. He says, Samuel, they talk about a golden box. Can you tell me about the golden box? Samuel says, the golden box. You want to know about the golden box? I'll tell you about the golden box. It's the presence of God, son. It's where the word of God dwells. It's where the manna, the miracle food that God poured down from heaven, that's where the golden box contains. And there's Aaron's rod that buds. That's what's in the golden box. Do you understand, David, what it means? No, I don't. You will one day. You will understand what it means to have that golden box. Do you understand what it means to Israel to have that golden box in our presence? I remember a day, David, that they said the Philistines had come, and the Philistines had burst on the town, and they were in the area, and there had been robbers, and there had been marauders from the Philistine camp. I remember that men in a frantic haste began to grab spears and begin to grab swords, and as they went out to battle. I was just a young boy like you, David. Amen. When the Philistines came and there was war, and I remember my pastor, my preacher Eli, began to shake and he began to quake, and his boys left to go out, and there was a lot of warfare, and there's a lot of chaos going on, and the Philistines began to beat Israel because Israel was in sin. They were living in sin, and they were worshiping idol gods. And I remember someone knocked on the door with great pounding, and they said, "Hey, we need the golden box. We need the presence of God to come and help us. Hey, man, we're losing the war. We're losing the battle. Somebody get the golden box." And they looked at Phinehas and Hophni, and they were soft. They were playboys. And no, we don't want. No, you're gonna bring the golden box. Hey, man, as the militant soldier looked at him, and with great haste they picked it up as they shot off to battle. I remember when that young boy came back with the bad news. Amen. Eli, your boys are dead. Your sons are dead. And I remember my pastor, as he sit there, he fell back off the bench and he broke his neck. He was overweight. And in one day, amen, his two sons, my pastor was dead. And the golden box was gone. I remember the darkness that came over the town. I remember the fear, and I remember the torment, and I remember people with devils as they begin to act up because there was no presence of God. I remember, David, the box is important. I could hear the jeers and the celebration and the joy of the Philistine camp as they walked off with our golden box. When the Philistines took the Ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon, and they set it by Dagon. And when they of Ashdod arose early on the morrow, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the earth before the Ark of the Lord. And they took Dagon, and they set him in his place again. And when they arose early on the morning, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the ground before the Ark of the Lord. And the head of Dagon and both the palms of his hands were cut off upon the threshold. Only the stump of Dagon was left to him. I remember, David, hearing the story. Wonder what's going on with the golden box. Yeah, the Philistines have it. They put it in the house of their temple. They put it in the house of their idol god. What happened? Well, the big temple in the big idol, when they went in one morning, they found Dagon. This massive monument of stone, this idol god that they worship. They found him fallen flat on his face. Amen. Because the presence of God always requires somebody fall down before him. When you come in for the house of God and you come into the presence of God, you must remember, I must always be humble. I must always be humble before the presence of God. Hallelujah. Dagon, they go in the second day. And not only is Dagon fallen down, but his hands are cut off and his arms are cut off. And the presence of God cut his head off. Amen. If you're going to stand in the presence of God with pride and arrogancy, If you're going to stand in the presence of God with haughtiness, amen, God will cut you off. He said, I resist the proud, but I give grace to the humble. Amen. I've seen people going through life's troubles. I've seen people down at their worst, down on their last luck, but their pride wouldn't let them fall down before God. I've seen God step away from them, but the moment that they would fall down before God and say, God, help me, I'm a sinner. God, I need the Holy Ghost. God, I need you to fill me with your spirit. I don't care who's watching me. I don't care who's looking at me. I don't care who's listening to me. God, I need you more than anything. I've seen God swoop in. I've been in prisons, and I've been with men that are never walking out of those doors. You hear me? I've been with men that can't shed a tear. They've seen men molested and men raped and men taking lives and things done, unspeakable things. And I've seen them at a service in the jail where there's no music and there's no praise and there's no worship. But if a man will humble himself before God, I've seen God fill murders with the Holy Ghost. I've seen him speak in tongues as God would set him free from a broken past. God loves when we humble ourselves. They had the dignity to bring the presence of God into the house of their idols. They brought it in the house of Dagon. Dagon was the god of fertility. Dagon, this is what he looked like. He had a fish's body, and he had hands and arms like a man, and he had face like a man. You say, well, what does that mean to me? Well, think about it spiritually. From behind, it looks harmless. But if you get close to it, it can grab you and it can manipulate you. It's got a face like a man. It could speak to you and talk to you. Something that seems so innocent. This is what the Philistines worship. Fertility. Productivity. You got to increase. You got to get more. You don't have time to go to church. You got to work more hours. Well, it's all right to miss Sunday morning. You know, the boss, you know, you signed up for overtime. Productivity. When the men of Ashdod saw that it was so, they said, the ark of God of Israel shall not abide with us, for his hand is sore upon us and upon Dagon, our God. They saw, the Philistines said, wait a minute, there's something wrong here. God is not pleased with us. We put the ark of God next to our God, and our God is all broken up. Jesus said, you cannot serve two masters. He said, you will either hate the one and you will love the other. You can't serve two masters. You can't serve a boyfriend that's not in church and try to come to church because he's not interested in church. When he texts you after 10 o'clock, there's only one thing on his mind. Somebody say amen. All right. Praise God. We can't serve two masters. They put God here. They sent therefore and gathered the lords of the Philistines unto them and said, what shall we do with the ark? Amen. And they answered, let the ark of the God of Israel be carried about unto Gath. And they carried the ark of God of Israel about thither. And it was so that after they had carried it about, the hand of the Lord was against the city with a great destruction. And he smote the men of the city, both small and great. And they had emrods in their secret parts. They take the ark of God from the place it was supposed to be. And they took it to a place where he didn't want to be. And it brought destruction. The city got disease. People got sick. The Bible says God smote them with emrods in their secret parts. Anybody knows what emrods are? It's hemorrhoids. Amen. Somebody's like, yep, change subjects. All right. She's like, yeah. God was so angry. The golden box was designed to be in one place. And he said, that's in my temple. The Philistines were trying to figure this thing out. What in the world is going on? We've conquered other nations and other kings before, but this is strange. We heard about this little box. We know about the little box. The devil watches us. Your enemy knows who you are. He knows where you are spiritually. Did you know that? When King Hezekiah got sick, he got a letter from a king and said, we heard you were sick. Heard you as well. The devil knows when you're good. He knows when you're not doing so well. He knows when you're not prayed up like you ought to be prayed up. Amen. He knows when you're not fasting like you ought to be fasting. When you're not in the word like you ought to be in the word. When you're going to places you shouldn't be going. When you're dabbling in websites you shouldn't be dabbling in. The devil watches you. He said, where you been, Satan? He said, I've been all through all the earth. I've been going to and fro. What you been doing, God? I've been watching you. Praise God. Peter said this. He said, you be sober and you be vigilant. He said, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Praise God. The devil is a student and you are his subject. Amen. So Philistines say, you know, we need to, let's give it back to them. We can't handle the presence of God. The Philistines were religious people. Did you know that the Philistines were so religious, they looked at Jews as unclean? And the Jews looked at them as unclean. They said, you know, let's just give it back to them. And so they take golden mice and they make golden hemorrhoids. You say, strange, I know. And they put it in the ark and they give it back to the Jews. Watch this, because when you take the presence of God and you go to other places of worship that are not preaching the truth, and you take this spirit, this Holy Ghost, this Holy Spirit, and you try to come back to where the temple is, it's going to come twisted and it's going to come perverted. So you need to just stay in the house of the living God. Somebody say, this is my church. I don't have another church. I don't have two or three churches that I go to on Sunday. No, I got one church. I've got one temple that I go to. I've got one house that I go to. First Samuel chapter 6, verse 3. And they said, if you send away the ark of God of Israel, send it not empty, but in any wise return him a trespass offering. Then you should be healed, and it shall be known to you why his hand is not removed from you. And then they said, what shall be the trespass offering which we shall return to him? They answered, 5 golden emerods and 5 golden mice, according to the number of the lords of the Philistines, for one plague that was on you all and on your lords. Twisted. Twisted. You mean to tell me, God, Moses was coming up on that holy mountain, going to the presence of God with those tablets, those rocks of stone, and God hand-carved the Ten Commandments, the law, on that stone? It was divine. It was supernatural. It was spiritual. God had never did that for anybody. And you mean to tell me the manna that fell from heaven, David said it was angels' food. It was pure. It was clean. It was holy. It fed multitudes. Amen. There was so much divinity that was wrapped up in that manna. Amen. And Aaron's rod that budded, it wasn't connected to a root. It wasn't connected to anything. And it still blossomed. Amen. Every time they opened it up, amen, Aaron's rod was blossoming with white petals. Amen. It looked holy and pure. And the best that they could do was put emrods and put mice with God's presence. You got to have a respect for God's presence. That's why we don't go certain places. Amen. You got to have a respect for the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's why you got to cut people off sometimes. Amen. Sometimes you get around family, amen, with their filthy mouths and their filthy minds and their filthy jokes. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll get a hold of you. I'll get a hold of you. You don't call me no more. Somebody say Holy Ghost. That golden box. I got to have a reverence for this thing. That golden box. My God, that golden box. Amen. Say, well, David looks at Samuel. Well, Samuel, why did God do all of that? Why did God, I mean, did he have to be so mean and so rigid? Did he, why did he do all of that? Samuel looks at David because the house of God carries the temple of God, and the temple of God carries the ark of God, that golden box. Samuel looked at David like that old prophet looked at Eli, and he said, the golden box does not belong in the house of idols. It doesn't belong in the house of idols. That golden box that you have. Paul said, wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Why? Because you've got that golden box in you. You've got that Ark of the Covenant in you. Amen. If you've been filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, amen, you're not the same like you used to be. You can't go places like you used to go. Amen. You can't talk how you used to talk. You can't walk how you used to walk. Amen. I said you got that golden box in you. Hallelujah. That Holy Ghost. Come out from among them. He said, be ye separate. You know what separate means? It means to mark off from others by boundaries and limits. When you get the Holy Ghost, you got to have boundaries and limits. You got to have boundaries and limits. Touch not the unclean thing, he said. Touch not the unclean thing. The Bible says that Joshua had won some battles. Joshua, he was a young, vicious, victory-drunk man. He was a good man. He was a holy man. He just wanted to win for God. And the word got around that he was conquering. And there were some men that got afraid of him. These were men that were not Israelites. They got afraid and they said, you know what we're going to do? We're gonna dress up in old clothes, and we're going to get old, moldy bread. And we're gonna get old wineskins and look like we traveled through the desert, come from a far land, and we're gonna make them make covenant with us. I wonder if it'll work. And those men hopped on those animals, and they came and they come down before Joshua, and they bowed and they gave homage and they gave honor, and we traveled a great far away. And the Bible says Joshua didn't pray about this connection. He didn't pray about this covenant. And they said, we just want you to make league with us. You know, you guys love God, but we love God too. You know, you guys believe in one God, but you know, we believe in three gods. You know, it's the same thing. You know, I mean, you know. I mean, you know, you guys worship. We like to worship too. Come on, make a league with us. Make covenant with us. And Joshua didn't pray about it. And they deceived him. And now they've got problems because of a league and a contract and a covenant that they made with another religious people. Amen. God did not give you the Holy Ghost to be connected with every single religion. I remember when I got the Holy Ghost, I was 14 years old. I didn't know what I had. I didn't know what I was doing. I just went to high school, and I had the Holy Ghost. And I remember, man, everything was unclean. Praise God. That's the way I took it. Everything was unclean. And uh, I remember I remember the word got around. Said, Justin's going to church. He's old church boy now. They see me. Hey, preacher. I wasn't even preaching. Hey, preacher boy, church boy. I'm like, you call me that one more time, man. No, I was just playing. So I remember there was this religious group that would meet in the mornings, you know, Bible study group. There were some charismatics. And they would go to the movies on Friday night, you know. All the worldly stuff, but then they want to come to church on Sunday. They said, well, why don't you join? The head guy come to me. He said, well, why don't you join? Why don't you join us for Bible study? And I remember looking at him. I didn't know anything. I didn't know what I had, but I remember the Holy Ghost just rose up in me. And I remember when he said that, I got angry. I got mad. And I'm like, man, you can't be like that. You're supposed to be a Christian. You can't be like that. But I was getting mad. Later on, I learned about the holy anger of God. I said, no. I said, I don't want to go to your Bible study. That was it. And I look back now, and I understand what God, even as a young boy, and I learned through the scriptures and through teaching, that God does not want you to be connected to every single person that claims to be religious. He said, I want you to be separate. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And he said, and touch not the unclean thing. I like Hezekiah. Hezekiah got on the throne. And Hezekiah seen all of this idolatry. And all of this idol worship. And all of the things that they worship. You know what Hezekiah said? He said, we need a revival around this place. And the Bible says that he went up to the high places. The high places with churches and chapels and sanctuaries way up in the mountains. He went up there. And the Bible says he removed the high places. And the Bible says that he broke down the Asherah poles. The Asherah poles were, they were, it was the goddess of Asherah. She was the goddess of like fertility and intimacy. And so they would worship her by having relationships with one another. And it was perverse. It was ugly. It was nasty. And this is what the children of Israel were worshiping. And then the Bible says that he took down the groves. And then the Bible says that he even destroyed and break in pieces the brass serpent that Moses made. One point, the children of Israel began to murmur years before, and Moses made a brass serpent. And he said, if you don't work, and they began to murmur, and snakes became, they came amongst the camp, and they were biting people and making them sick, killing people. Said, Moses, what do we do? God told him, you make a brass serpent. Those that look upon the serpent will be healed. Those that don't look upon it, they'll die. And Moses made that brass serpent. Under the obedience of God, wasn't long before the children of Israel began to worship that brass serpent. The funny thing about it was a serpent, but Israel called it a thing. It was a serpent, but Israel called it a thing. In other words, they didn't see anything wrong with it. You know, it's just a thing. It's just an inanimate object. It's just lifeless. You start getting in people's lives, you know what I'm saying? Stuff that they really like, they feel it's wrong, but they really don't want to get rid of it. Oh, well, it's just a thing. Well, he's just a friend. She's just a friend. It's just a place. It's just a contact. But it's really a serpent is what it really is. Children of Israel walking around, they're calling it a thing. They're like, no, it's a serpent. Praise God. Hezekiah said, you know, we can't dwell where idols dwell. We've got this golden box. We've got this golden box that's in us. The angels represent holiness. We've got it. You've got it. I've got it. And the Bible says, depart ye, go ye out from thence, touch not the unclean thing, go ye out of the midst of her, and be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. The world calls us, says, you know, you could be worldly and you can be religious. It's all right. God understands. You could be religious and you could be worldly at the same time. God knows. The Bible says that we have this treasure hid in earthen vessels. There's just places that I can't go. There's things that I can't do. And I have seen people that are willing to give up. Not even everything, Brother Collins. Just one or two of the major things, and God will fill them with the Holy Ghost. I've seen it. And I've seen them give up many of little things, but that one main thing they don't want to give up. God says, all right, whenever you're ready, the Bible says he will not dwell in an unclean temple. So I've got to keep my temple clean, and I've got to make a place for this golden box. What is that golden box? It was the tablets of stone, which represents repentance. It represents, God, I see your law. And I'm going to turn to your law. Your law never changes. It never moves. It is strong. Your word is a rock. Repentance. And then there's the pot of manna, which represents baptism in Jesus' name. I mean, it means a lot of other things, but you take that pot. Just like when you got baptized in Jesus' name, you stepped up into the baptismal tank, the pot of living water, the pot of what comes from heaven. You got baptized in Jesus' name. And then you got filled with the Holy Ghost that begins to blossom. There's nothing like the Holy Ghost. It never gets old. Amen. Amen. If you've never spoken in tongues before, you've got to get the Holy Ghost today. Amen. There's nothing like the Holy Ghost. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Amen. That rod that blossoms. That's what's in the golden pot. You know, I didn't know what God was going to speak to me about when I came here. And I remember on the way down here, I fell asleep. Not driving, of course. Amen. I had a dream, and in the dream, I was on my way to church, and I remember this wild person come out of nowhere. Wild. Hair was wild. All types of colors. All types, just from the wild, wanted me to go have church with them. And I remember it was at a place of idols. I remember looking at the church. It was idols. It was the world, movies. It was worldly. And I remember I stepped back. I said, no. I said, I can't go to church with you because my God is a holy God. And the Bible says to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. And if you're going to remember anything that I've said, let's stand to our feet today. If you're going to remember anything that this preacher has said today, you remember that the golden box is in you. You remember that you're not just walking around. You're not just walking around empty. You're not walking around with the ability and with the choice to go wherever we want to go, to do whatever we want to do. But we've got this golden box, see? God has invested in you. God give you the Holy Ghost. The Bible says, quench not the Spirit. You got to remember this Holy Ghost. He said, you are bought with the price. And I'm not here. I'm not rebuking anybody. I'm not mad. I'm not angry. I'm here to say, hey. You've got God's presence inside of you. You've got God's presence inside of you. You understand that? So many people, you're living in a day when there are religious people and there are charismatics and there are religious folks. And they go to church and they speak in tongues and they live like devils. They talk like devils. They act like devils. Their music is demonic. They brought the presence of God to a temple of idols. People that don't have a reverence for God. You know what Peter said? It would be better for them if they never even have got it, because they didn't respect what they had. He died for this thing. He died to fill you with His Spirit. He died to put that golden box inside of you. Oh, if the devil could get inside of that, my brother, if he could get into your life, begin to put unclean things in your life, mice and just filthy things. Oh, how he would love to do that. Send it back to you. Here you go. I got to keep it pure. I've got to keep it holy. I've got to live a life of discipline. I've got to live a life of separation. I feel the love of God here right now. I feel God just saying, I love my people. He said, if you do that, he said, I will be your father. You'll be my sons and my daughters. I don't know about you, friend, but that's if I could hear those words. Just hear the Lord call me son. Call your daughter. My God, what a powerful, loving God. I feel like there's some people here today. I just feel like there's some people here today that just need to come and talk to God and just love on Him. Love Him. You know what I'm saying? Just get some things just off my chest and cut some things off and just get back into the presence of God and have a reverence for this holiness and this holy God. Come out from among them, saith the Lord. Be ye separate. Say, God, I'm not going to go places I used to go. I'll cut people off if I have to. I can't go riding like I used to. Somebody say amen. I just can't anymore. And I hope I'm not dragging, but I felt some strength when she got on the piano, but when are you going to cut them off? When are you going to cut them off? When they come around, all you feel is darkness, all you feel is just, you argue, you fight, you fuss. When are you going to cut them off? Because God doesn't put everybody in your life. Some people are not supposed to be in your life. You say, yeah, I know, but they're family. I understand that, but you got a golden box in you. You're not average. You're not normal. I got to keep this thing holy. Hallelujah. Just lift up your hands and love them just for one moment. God, we praise you today. God, in the name of Jesus, we love you. Thank you for filling me with your Spirit. God, in the name of Jesus Christ. If you want the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you've never spoken tongues, you've never spoken that heavenly language, I want you to come up here to the front. You must be brave. Come on, be brave. Don't be afraid. This Holy Ghost is for you and me, the greatest gift. Hallelujah. Come on, He loves us. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Come on, lift up your voice. Why don't you grab somebody by the hand and bring them to the front? Oh, that golden box, that Ark of the Covenant, that presence of God. Oh, hallelujah. Come on. Rabba Mayabosa. He loves.
loves us. Oh, how he loves us.
Come on, come on. I want you to lift up your voice. Come on, let him cleanse you. Let him talk to you. Oh, come on, Jesus. Come on, come on. Somebody be brave. Come on, come on. Today's the day. Be brave. This is the day that I make a land, that I make a line in the sand. Come on, I'm going to give up the world. I'll give up the world. I'll give up whatever you want me to, God. I'm not going to put anything before you.
Oh, how he loves.
Come on, pray with somebody. Come on, in the name of Jesus. Oh, in the name of Jesus.
Oh, how he loves us.
Stand the face at your power.